Nobody has gotten rid of a dictatorship through elections. We get rid of dictatorships by the power of the people on the street.
But some opposition leaders in Cameroon would disagree with Kawala and cite examples elsewhere in Africa.
But does her position resonate with many Cameroonians?
And if not, how should Cameroonians actually address President Biya's long tenure?
Especially now that he has declared that he is going to run for the 8th term.
And 92.
The only discussion to be had in Cameroon is how do we get a good electoral system? I will not get into a system controlled by Mr. Biya. You cannot fool me to do that.
She challenges the system head on.
We are talking about a system that she's tried before and knows too well.
Despite her resolve, what if she is the people's choice?
The silence of Madame Edith Kawala is really worrisome.
If a woman wants to become a president in Cameroon, I will support.
I'm George. Welcome to the Baobab Show.
And I am Mimi. Under the Baobab, we make complex issues personal.
And today, under the Baobab, we have Madame Edith Kawala.
Yes.
She is a prominent female opposition leader in Cameroon.
And I have to get my facts straight. In 2011, George, she was the only woman to challenge President Paul Biya.
But in the preceding election, that is in 2018, she refused to participate, Mimi.
That's right.
This is 2025, and to be precise, in October, Cameroonians are headed for a very decisive year, but she's not yet told people where she stands.
That's right. And the reason why this matters a lot to so many Cameroonians is that Kawala actually represents the moderate voices in Cameroon. And she made many people in the country to believe that female leadership would take them out of so many years of dictatorship.
So is she standing against President Paul Biya?
Well, that was a discussion I had with her. It was a heated debate. And it took a lot of time for me to understand where she stands. Exactly. She told me what she thinks, and she even described the electoral process in Cameroon as a masquerade.
And I'm sure you tried to press it to tell us why she's not running again.
It was not just me asking those questions, because those are questions that are on the minds of many Cameroonians. But let us hear what she had to say with regards to this.
Mimi, before I think that the Cameroonian situation, and we discover more and more that it is not the Cameroonian situation, it's the situation in so many African countries. The question is not who is going to run. The question is, what kind of elections do we have? We have a fundamental problem in Africa, which is that our elections are not enabling us to obtain change at the head of our nations. We cannot keep on doing the same thing and getting the same result and saying that we are trying to go for elections. This is madness. We have an electoral system in Cameroon, which is completely controlled by the CPDM government. As we speak, in the last few weeks and months, almost every major political party in Cameroon has had its political meetings banned, has seen a show of force and violence on the part of the state with regard to holding simple political meetings in the headquarters of political parties. So this is the same state that will run the elections. The Ministry of Territorial Administration in Cameroon has a minister who feels comfortable threatening us as political leaders. He openly threatens us and tells us that he will beat us, that he will arrest us, that he will put us into a moulinex. That means he will put us into a grinder, and blend us up. And this is the person who controls elections in Cameroon. So discussion about who is going to run is an absolutely ridiculous discussion. The only discussion to be had in Cameroon is how do we get a good electoral system?
So are you saying that the electoral process, any electoral process in Cameroon now, is a dead end?
Absolutely. And this is not news. This is what has been the situation in Cameroon for the last almost 35 years. every election has been rigged by the CPDM. The reports are there. It's not Kawala saying it. You read the European Union report, you read the Commonwealth report, you read the African Union report. All of the reports say the same thing. The rights, the fundamental, you cannot have elections without fundamental political rights.
So basically, without fundamental political rights, elections become a mere theater. That is what Kawala is trying to double down on.
Yeah, but what happens to the country's future when people are saying that they want change after 43 years of one-party leadership of Paul Biya ruling the country?
Mimi, what I'm very sure and certain about, and of course from the Vox Post, we spoke to people in Cameroon,
right,
is that if a female leader was to stand in this upcoming election, they are willing and ready to vote her in.
Not just a female leader. People also want someone who is bold, who is proposing something different. But what did people on the streets of Yaoundé had to say about this? Our correspondent on the ground, Moki Edwin Kinzeka, spoke to some Cameroonians, and these were their reactions.
If a woman wants to become a president in Cameroon, I will support. What a man can do, a woman can best do. And looking at the society today, it has proven that women are great leaders. And why not? Why can't a woman be a president in Cameroon?
Women are great leaders in our society today, and we should give women full support. Give women full support today, and you see how impactful the leadership of the woman will be.
I will support a woman as a president of Cameroon because I believe leadership is not just meant for the male gender.
The silence of Madam Edith Kawala is really worrisome. I believe that this has really discouraged a lot of women, and it has proven that it is sheer impossibility for women to get into politics or into the electoral process.
Cameroonians think Kawala's decision to boycott the election isn't the right move, Mimi.
Imagine just wanting someone to be your leader and she's not ready because she feels like the laws governing elections are not the best. That is why so many people are accusing her of actually abandoning the people.
Yeah, but she constantly says power belongs to the people, and she's not positioning herself as a savior. She says Cameroonians themselves must act.
But here's the thing, George. While she's talking about street power and non-violent resistance, people are also asking where the leadership is. If you want to lead a revolution, like Madame Kawala is saying, shouldn't you be more visible? Shouldn't you be taking the lead? Mm-hmm. Is it supposed to be on social media? Is it supposed to just making statements? Let us hear what she had to say about this particular issue, because critics have been saying that she's too silent.
Anybody who would say, because I want to build my personal brand, would be being absolutely ridiculous. And the other ridiculous thing we must not do is reduce political action and political rights to elections, especially when elections are a masquerade. Everybody knows, stand up for Cameroon. This year, within the past year, we have carried out a national and international campaign against torture in Cameroon. Torture, some of it, against political actors. So we cannot be talking about going to elections with a state that tortures political actors for carrying out the very political activities that enable you to have elections. This year, as Stand Up for Cameroon, we have stood up with women in Cameroon who are suffering from gender-based violence. And I am very proud to say that one of the groups that we are training politically right now is young feminists, because they want their voices heard in the political process. When anybody says we have been silent, I say they don't watch the news, because our offices have been surrounded by the police twice within the last year. Why? Because we were informing Cameroonians on the public finances of Cameroon and insisting that government provide accountability for the for the financial management, which it is doing in Cameroon.
So, yeah, how can fighting a system from outside be effective?
It is the most effective when the system is rotten. I will not get into a system controlled by Mr. Biya. You cannot fool me to do that. Everybody who has fought from within
rid of the system completely could be a solution, yes, instead of fighting, yes, from without. If the system is as bad as it is.
But what do you mean by fighting from without?
What is the strategy? Because it's only through an election that a leader can you can only unseat a system that is in place through the ballot box. So what is the game plan?
No, but Mimi Mefo, that what you have just said is not a fact. We get rid of dictatorships by the power of the people on the street. This is what Egypt did. This is what Tunisia did. This is what Burkina Faso did.
No, I'm looking at constitutional actions, like legal actions.
Nobody has gotten rid of a dictatorship through elections. I challenge you as a journalist to find me the case where somebody got rid of a dictator.
It happened in Senegal. We saw a young leader emerge in Senegal. There were protests, of course, before, but there was an election and a young leader was elected in Senegal.
You are incorrect. Senegal was not a dictatorship. Macky Sall was not in power for 43 years.
I'm not talking about the time that he stayed in office. I'm talking about the discontentment. The discontentment the build up to the election, there were a lot of discontentment. Senegalese, even in the diaspora that I spoke to, were not happy about the system. And they did everything to vote him out.
Yes, do a proper analysis. Senegal has a very good electoral system and has had a good electoral system over many years. It is not comparable to Cameroon. So we must compare apples and apples. Let's not compare apples and oranges. It will not go. Senegal is a completely different story. And please, let us be clear. How did the Senegalese win? The Senegalese won on the street. It is on the street that they got out Macky Sall. We cannot neglect and we cannot ignore the sacrifice of the Senegalese people who were protesting for over 2 years. And so, Cameroonians, if we want Paul Biya out, we have to be ready as a people to make our voices heard on the streets of Yaoundé.
Yeah, because we've seen the repercussions of protests in Cameroon. Arrests, we talked about it earlier. We saw some people are shot. Others are killed. The impact of protests
so
in Cameroon.
In every and country where you want change.
I'm just wondering about the lives of ordinary citizens, how that can be feasible, that is in place.
Mimi Mefo, how many years have Cameroonians been voting with Mr. Biya?
Well, Madame Kawala, because this is the baobab under the baobab.
Mimi Mefo.
I knew you were going to say that.
Did you get time to answer that question? Mimi Mefo.
I was on fire. Yeah. You see, I was even sweating. It was not easy. But when she was just talking a while ago, I was looking at my notes and I saw that we have a lot of examples in Africa where people, leaders that were seen as dictators by their own people were removed through the ballot box, like Yahya Jammeh in the Gambia. He is a typical example of a leader that was taken out through the ballot box.
When you talk about leaders who've been removed through the ballot box, we can also cite Kenya's late President Daniel Moi, who ruled for many years, and he was a perceived dictator in that region. His supporters will say he was a good leader. And I mean, something that interests me, Mimi, I don't want us to divert, but whenever someone passes on, then they are praised a lot. Like in that country, the late president is, praised now.
Yes.
But formerly he was the perceived dictator.
He was a dictator. If it's, the people are describing him as a dictator, he was a dictator.
Now, back to the conversation. It was a very heated
conversation. Maybe it's a discussion for another day. Yeah. Yes, you're right. And I should say, George, this is to me the most exciting
part
of the Baba, because we get to know our guests on a personal level, to know their likes and dislikes, their hobbies, and so on. So here is the rapid fire questions. Let us get to know Kawala on a very personal level.
The first question is, what's one thing you wish more people in Cameroon knew about now?
The fact that if they do not act as a people, there will be no change.
And who has been that biggest influence on your political career so far?
Oh, wow. Thomas Sankara, Winnie Mandela. Thomas Sankara used to say, let us be mad enough to dare to invent the future.
What did little Kawala want to be when she was growing up?
You'll not believe, but I wanted to be a politician.
So what are your morning rituals like that you never skip when you wake up in the morning?
15 minutes of quiet and internal, getting in touch with myself, and 15 minutes of dance or exercise to get my body ready for what needs to happen.
Okay, so what is that one thing about you that your friends, people, your family, people who are close to you know, but that your followers don't know?
That at home, I'm fairly quiet. And the other thing is that on special days, I like to cook for my grandkids. It's holiday time now, and I will soon have 10 to 15 grandkids in my house. Yes, and I on special days, I like to cook for them.
And because you talked about your grandkids, how many children do you have? Many people don't even know.
I am a true African in the sense that I have 7 children. I have 5 girls, 2 boys. I do not have any biological children. So these are all children that I have brought up. And all of them are adults today and have families of their own. And I have many grandkids.
So what is that most rebellious thing that you did before turning 25?
Oh, I am just laughing because if you ask my parents, they will say I was born a rebel. I always question the rules, but you know, I'm a confrontational rebel. I don't go behind. I come straight to the person who is giving the rule and question directly that person. So I was the one that my brothers and sisters always sent in front to negotiate the time when we wanted to go out for a party or to the nightclub. I was the negotiator.
What is that thing that you would want to whisper into every young African girl's ear?
You are yourself, and you are great as yourself. Your body belongs to you. Your mind belongs to you. Your spirit belongs to you. Don't let anybody steal any piece of it.
This inspired me so much. I'll just say, yeah, word from Kawala.
For me, it's her voice and the tone when she was quoting Thomas Sankara. Let us be mad enough to dare to dream. It made me wanna dare to, you know, invent my future.
That's right. Know? And we see those personal details about her that really, they really humanize her.
Definitely.
And here's someone who's built a family of 7 adopted children. She cooks for her grandkids. And when she is in that political milieu, political sphere, we see another person. I would tell you also that every week she does what we call the Black Friday, where she and all of her supporters would dress in black to mourn for bad leadership, bad governance. And when you see her mourning for bad governance, mourning for like everything bad that is happening in Cameroon. But this is someone who is a grandmother to so many kids and cooks for them. So seeing these two sides to Kawala is really, really inspiring.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing also is that what I noticed is that this messaging that the electoral reforms must first take place before the elections mm-hmm. are free and fair, I think she doubled up on that a lot.
And she's not the only one saying it. People are not happy with the laws governing the elections body in Cameroon. But many are still saying that you cannot give up. You cannot also just allow a 92-year-old leader to stand again. And he's been there for 43 years. And people cannot really feel the impact of what he's been doing to change things for the country. Mm-hmm. How can things be done differently? Isn't it time for people to look for other strategies than just say, oh, I'm not going to be part of this? Well, it's left to those who are the decision makers. It's left to the for the politicians to decide what they really want. But that's not the only thing that bothers Kawala, mm-hmm. isn't it?
What else?
She's worried about how much external influence is enabling longevity in power and rights violations, not just in Cameroon, but also in Africa.
You mean the international community supporting a flawed electoral system?
Right. So that is the question I put to her. And this was her explanation.
What we are asking the international community is to not be complicit. What we are saying is not for them to come and give us lessons. They have enough of their own problems. I'm not going to go into Europe has its problems. America has its problems. They need to manage their own problems. But we are saying that when a government is not respecting its own law, then it is inconceivable for the UN to come and say, we are going to assist that government in doing, we are going to assist ELECAB, which is the electoral body, that we are going to assist them in conducting elections. First thing they have to do is to tell the government of Cameroon, respect your own law. Kawala wants to go for elections, but I am not going for a masquerade. I am not going to accompany Mr. Biya on a stroll. As we have been accompanying
you are not going for a masquerade. So do you believe that it's still possible to create a political change from within Cameroon's former system, or you have shifted to a different strategy completely?
We believe, we said it in 2014, and 11 years later, we are on the same strategy. And we are very happy. The events in the last couple of weeks in Cameroon are showing that Cameroonians are ready to face the violence of the state in order to stand up for their rights. And we are saying that, contrary to the big discussion about having a coalition for one opposition candidate, this is not what the coalition should be about. The coalition should be about coming together as political parties, as civil society, as religious organizations, coming together to say we must have a credible electoral system.
Is it not a little bit late to start talking about now? This is 2025, and elections have to take place in Cameroon. There's supposed to be an election of the new president. Shouldn't that be discussed way before the electoral year?
Of course, and as I told you, this has been our position for the last 10 years. So we've been talking about it for 10 years. And we should stop with this nonsense of holding an electoral calendar over our heads. What is more important, having a good election or having a masquerade in October?
What will you be doing? What will you be doing this year, this 2025?
So this year, as we have been doing right now, we are intensely on the field, training Cameroonians, meeting with groups, training them on non-violence. Because in the face of the violence of the state, Cameroonians have to be able to protest. They have to be able to come out onto the streets without expressing violence themselves.
And talking about deadlines, Cameroonians will be electing their new president on the 12th of October this year, 2025.
And given that, if political figures like Kawala are now hesitant, I should mm-hmm. say, What does that mean for people who are calling for change?
Good question.
And did she tell you what, you know, had her thoughts for most pressing issues in Cameroon?
She actually did. She highlighted a lot of issues that are plaguing Cameroon at the moment. She talked about the absence of rule of law. She talked about the conflict that has been plaguing the English-speaking Northwest and the Southwest regions of the country.
The Anglophone crisis.
Right. Yeah. She also talked about the shrinking civic space as well in Cameroon. Let us listen to her thoughts about these issues.
I would say that it is the two conflicts. By the way, one of the key reasons that we are not going for elections this year remains the Anglophone crisis and the Boko Haram crisis. In 2018, which you mentioned, no candidate was able to campaign in the Anglophone regions. And as a result, CPDM completely violated the rights of the Anglophone citizens and claimed that they had won more than 90% of the vote in those regions. The situation is still exactly the same today. Mm-hmm. The Anglophones will, in October 2025, will be faced with either they cannot choose their president or if they are going, they are going at the risk of their life or at the risk of getting a hand chopped off or some other thing. We find this to be unacceptable.
So looking looking at this division, maybe even
on these questions.
Yes, looking at this division, even within the opposition, at the same time, the government is saying that Cameroon is a one and united country, but we are seeing a lot of division within the opposition. There's conflict. There's a lot happening. Does the idea of a united Cameroon still feel real to you, or is it something that is fading out and you're worried about?
I believe that the idea of a united Cameroon is real, not only to me, but to the majority of Cameroonians. We hold regular public conferences with people from all regions of Cameroon. And in those conferences, we hear and feel people want unity. People are not seeking to divide from Cameroon, even in the Anglophone regions. However, people are also very clear that this is not a declaration. You don't stand and say Cameroon is united. We are one and indivisible. No, it is today to get that unity, we need justice. We need the conflict situations to be addressed and a path for justice to be defined where we all agree.
So, Madame Kawala, very few women have taken that courage to say we want change in Cameroon. Let us imagine that you are elected president or you become president of Cameroon. What is going to be your first action or your first decree?
Number one, as I have just said, is the first communication to Cameroonians is to affirm that every Cameroonian is a citizen on an equal basis. Number two is that we are going to sit down, dialogue, and define a pathway whereby every Cameroonian citizen gets equal access to the resources of our very rich country. Cameroon is a very rich country, and every Cameroonian can live comfortably. We can have water, we can have electricity, we can have roads, we can have a job. And the most important is to do so equitably across the country. I want to speak to the question of women. Please, women have provided the greatest resistance to this regime since 2018. 2018, when political actors were arrested and put into prison, it is myself, Maximilian Gombe, Alice Combe. These are the people who have been at the forefront of fighting for the rights of Cameroonians.
And Cameroonians saw results. Exactly. I was just giving examples of things that men who are even in power have done and we have not seen
concrete results from what they are doing. So do you think that Cameroon's future lies in the hands of a woman like you, for instance?
I believe, of course, I am a political leader. I want to run Cameroon, but I am a political leader who says my desire to run Cameroon must come second to building a proper foundation for the nation.
What are you most scared of in 2025? 10 seconds. What is your fear this year?
That we do not come together on the foundational issues. If we do not come together as Cameroonians on the foundational issues, we run the risk of violence. We must come together and build our country and take it forward.
Thank you, Madam Kawala, for joining us under the Baobab.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure.
And it was so amazing having Kawala for the first time under the Baobab. With Kawala's approach or not, you can't deny that she is consistent. She is unfiltered and she's so uncompromising.
Now, for over a decade, she's maintained the same position. Fix the system first, then talk about the candidates.
And talk about the election. So what strikes me also the most is her long-term thinking. While others are focused on the October elections that will be coming up, she's talking about fundamental changes that could take years or even decades to see in Cameroon.
Well, her point about women leading the resistance is particularly striking, Mimi. But here is the flip side. By refusing to participate in the elections,
right,
she's actually ceding the field to those who are opposing.
Right. Or she could be playing a political game that we are not able to see what her game plan is at the moment. We might see that in the long run.
Well, that is something of wait and see, but history will judge whether her strategy of resistance over participation was the right call. What we do know is that her voice represents something many Cameroonians are feeling, frustration with the status quo and a desire for fundamental change.
And fundamental change that they want to see across the country. They want to feel it, George. They want to know whether they have a leadership that represents them and represents their voices as well.
Is that what you feel as a Cameroonian?
I want to see a Cameroon that journalists are able to exercise freely, where people are able to speak without having reprisal attacks, where people have dreams and see those dreams come to reality. That is the Cameroon I want to see. George.
You know what to do.
I know what to do.
In October.
Let's see how it goes. And that's all we had for you today. Whether Kawala decides to surprise everyone, we don't know what will happen, and enter the race or continues her resistance from outside the system, one thing is certain. She's changed the conversation about what political leadership looks like in Cameroon, whether you like it or not, George.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, what do you think? Should she run, or is her strategy of system resistance,
I think she should run,
more effective?
We need someone like Kawala, not a 92-year-old person.
Definitely. Let us know in the comment section below. And if you are interested in African politics and want more conversations like this, make sure to subscribe.
I am Mimi Mefo.
And my name is George. Thanks for joining us under the Baobab.
Subscribe. Thank you.